Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
Guide me, O Thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Listen as those words are sung. Reading today from Colossians chapter 4, beginning at verse 6, reading to the end of the chapter. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. All my states shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, and a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers into the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. Let's give thanks for these words and join with particularly one of them that Paul describes as having laboring fervently for you in prayers. How we should do that for each other today. We have recently commemorated the ascension of Christ. It'll be longer by the time this message gets on the radio, but from the time of Christ till the time of the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost was a mighty time of prayer. They were in one accord in prayer and supplication. They are not only described in that way after Christ ascended, but they are still described in that way when the day of Pentecost was fully come. They prayed up to that hour, and then the Spirit was given. How we need to pray again for each other in general ways, but especially that there will be a mighty outpouring of the Spirit once more, applying God's word mightily. Let's pray for that. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ. We come giving thanks in His name for all that has been given. And we also come, Father, in His name asking for all that is needed. And we give thanks that we can come to one who knows what has been given. And now we ask Thy blessing upon it, especially on Thy word, on those also that have been called to preach the word. We also come, Father, as Christ told us, to pray to Thee, the Lord of harvest, to send forth laborers into the fields which are white of the harvest and where the laborers are few. We also pray for those in the church, as we read already by the pen of the psalmist, giving gifts to men, and Paul repeating those words to the church at Ephesus, declaring that Thou didst, Lord Jesus, give some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, till we all come in the unity of Christ. We pray that Thou would give that again in the church, both giving where there are none, and where those that are there to be one, giving Thy Spirit in such a way that He will lead into all truth, the truth as we need to know it in conviction, to humble us, to know how wrong we are, what we need to repent of, and then what we need to both believe and do in truth. We pray that that may come to the church, that it will again give honor to Thy name, that it will be as Thou didst pray, Lord Jesus, to be one, and here till they come in the unity of the faith, that the world will know that Thou, Father, hast sent Christ, and such a miracle taking place in the church, not divided, not strife, but unity. And we pray that it might take place, as Thou dost pray for it, Lord Jesus, teach us to pray for it as well, and to work to that end. We pray for other needs that there are, the temporal needs as well as the eternal needs. We pray for those in sickness, that there might be healing, those in pain and weakness, they might be strengthened and comforted, especially that each one might learn through afflictions the peaceable fruits of righteousness. We pray for those that must remain in illness and weakness, they might have the grace to bear under it, and those that will soon meet the end death, that they might be prepared for that hour through Christ. Pray for those in hunger, those in homelessness, those in the war-torn lands, all these calamities. We pray for the broken homes. We pray for the aged. We pray especially for the children in the broken homes. We pray for the woman suffering terribly under the hand of those that have killed their husbands and taken them and their children captive, making them slaves, making the children to be supposedly follow the path of the murderers and their lies. We pray that that might be exposed. We pray that Thou would come, Father, to every nation with the gospel and bring peace on earth, goodwill toward men through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. Looking at the latter part of this letter, Paul has addressed them in many different ways, addressed them in their past in the first chapter, describing them in darkness, describing them in enmity against God, as we can see in the 21st verse of the first chapter, you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. That is the picture of the church. Every one of us have to have learned that. We all were taken out of darkness. We are all taken from deadness and sin. And as Paul could say to Titus, even hateful and hating one another, all of that was true in our natural ways, each and every one. And Paul could ask, as he wrote to the church at Rome, are we better than they? Referring to Jews, Gentiles, probably others. In no wise was his answer. We have together become unprofitable. Today we could have unity if we knew our sin. We could have unity in repentance, in knowing how wrong we are in the church, in the home, in our doctrine, in our life. We need to start there. And we need to pray that God will give those to be gifts to the church. As he said already by the pen of the psalmist, Psalm 68 says, he ascended up to heaven and gave gifts to men, to the rebellious also. As Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, he repeats those words, he that ascended up far above the heavens that he might fill all things, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then later in that chapter, he says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ. There he speaks of God having given, and particularly their office, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Here Paul speaks of different men and doesn't speak of their office, but he said to these people at Colossae, my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. That's how Paul described him. Others later were described in similar language. Also, others called beloved brother, and particularly the one, great zeal in prayer for the people there at Colossae. Different ways in which he described them, but they all had been called of God. They were all brothers. They were all there for a reason. And here, the first one, he says, who is a beloved brother and faithful minister, he said, he'll tell you my state, as I'm here a prisoner in Rome. Evidently, some of these would come to Rome at times and probably do some laboring there. Visit with Paul as well and probably get instruction of him. And then he would send them back. As we can read in verse 8 of Tychicus, he says, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. So he would give information both ways. Paul says, all my state shall he declare unto you. And then he says, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that I might know your estate and comfort your hearts. All these were called of God, called beloved brothers, called fellow servants. And again, I think of those words of Christ. When he looked around in Judah, when he was ministering there, he saw the people as sheep without a shepherd. And he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers. And how we need to pray for that today. Jonathan Edwards gave a warning and said, when God decides to leave a people, he'll allow the older ministers to die and the other ones won't be called. And in many places, that was taking place. Some then were called in the time of the Great Awakening, and those who were there just in the church but had never really been called by God didn't want to accept those who were truly called to preach the word, to call the people to repentance. They wanted to go on, as it were, at ease in Zion, that which Edward saw as dangerous. And God did raise up different ones in different churches to preach the word faithfully, to call them to conversion, call them to salvation, call them to repentance. And many were then brought into the church at that time. Before that, there had been just a formalism. They had what they called a halfway covenant. People really didn't come to repentance and faith. They themselves didn't have what their forefathers had, and they knew that much that they couldn't then be called full members of the church, but they still wanted to baptize their children, and that gave place for what was called the halfway covenant. The parents acknowledged the truth in the letter, but not in the spirit, and they still then baptized their children. That went on for a while, and then later Stoddard and others wanted to accept all of them more and more. Thankfully, God sent a man like Edwards and like the Tenants in the Presbyterian Church, Friedenhuysen in the Reformed Church, and Edwards himself in the Congregational Church. All these had these men for the perfecting of the saints, and as well, like on the day of Pentecost, to add to the church. And here Paul was describing those who were there. It was a blessed time. These churches had begun. They had been blessed. The church at Colossae, we don't know the beginning of it, exactly how it began. We aren't told that in the book of Acts, like we are the church at Ephesus or the church at Corinth. But here they had these men going back and forth between Paul as a prisoner, and one of them is mentioned as a fellow prisoner with Paul. But they had a blessed fellowship, and they were ministering to one another. Paul in Rome, they in Colossae. And here he could go on further. He said with Onesimus in verse 9, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. So there were some there that, as we can read a little later, were evidently Jews, one with Paul in the ministry, evangelist from Jerusalem or from Judah, but also some who were converted in Colossae and had become pastors or teachers. And that seemed to be the way when two of them here, who he said, are one of you. That was true here with Onesimus. He said, who is one of you, and they shall make known unto you the things that are done. We find that a little later, another one was also one of them. So there were ministers from Colossae that would come to Rome, and there were others that went back and forth to different places, different churches. As we read later, Luke, Demas, and Mark, who was with Paul in his earlier evangelism and left him. We'll come to that a moment later. But we see these different ones and what they were doing and what they would do. Onesimus said, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. And there was much done in Rome. To one of the churches, Paul could write, they of Caesar's household greet you. Paul had his converts there. And there was probably some outside of the prison, some around that some of these men were ministering to, having their converts in Rome, outside of the prison. We don't know all the details, but there were many things that were evidently taking place in a wonderful way, and how we should pray for that again, how we should pray for it in the church, and then the church being made one, as Christ prayed for, that the world will know that God has sent Christ, and then some taken prisoner as Paul was, and in prison, but others traveling the world, traveling around, going from church to church, going from Rome back to Colossae, and from Colossae to Rome. All of this was taking place. as we read here in verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. As I said, one of them was a prisoner with Paul, and Marcus, sister, son to Barnabas. We can read the book of Acts how Paul and Barnabas went, and they took Mark with them, and Mark left the work. And then later, when Paul and Barnabas were to start out again, Barnabas wanted to take Mark, but Paul says, no, he left the work. We won't take him this time. And we do know that later, Mark became profitable to Paul, and evidently that had taken place by this time. And as well as Paul writes another time that he is profitable to me. So Mark must have learned along the way, and here we see him described. When we read that Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, it was Barnabas' nephew, and touching whom you received commandment, if he come unto you, receive him. And along with it, the next verse, verse 11, Jesus, which is called justice, and then both those in verse 10 and verse 11 evidently are Jews, or as he describes them here, who are of the circumcision. And then these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, who have been a comfort unto me. What a blessed time it was, in spite of Paul being in prison, in spite of the persecution that was taking place and would take place later, especially in Rome, the awfulness of how the Christians were treated. But what a blessing. A short time on earth, suffering persecution, now they're in heaven. What about those who have it easy? God says by his word, woe unto those who are at ease in Zion. Everything smooth. And again, going back to the time of our own history before Edwards, some people wanted to keep it smooth. They didn't like it. Even when Edwards did what he did in preaching and in examining people and laying rules of who could take the Lord's Supper. And he was later voted out of his church for it. A terrible thing after such a great blessing of the Great Awakening. This was a better time and a better place. Here, the church at Colossae, we may believe, was in the right place, and these people were ministering to them. As we can see, some of them, two of them, were of them, out of their own midst, called to be God's children first, and then to be ministers of the word. The one particularly, as we already referred to, Epaphras, verse 12, who is one of you. The second one is mentioned of you, from you. And what he is doing, a servant of Christ. Some are called beloved brothers. Some are called laborers. And here, a servant of Christ. Thinking about his master. Working for his master. Working with the others, but a servant of Christ. How we should all think of that. Lord, what do you want me to do? How am I to think of this and that and that and that? All things. Yes, all things. I think of it myself. I'm losing my wife a few months ago. There's a time to sorrow. But at the same time, God has to be above all. Psalm 73, we read, who have I in heaven but thee? And on earth, there's none beside thee. That must be first in time of sorrow as well as time of joy. And then we can think of what God has given us in the past to be thankful for. This is God's order, life and death, giving and taking away. It's God's way of doing what he is doing and what he has done. We go back to the time of Abraham. He had Sarah. We read, he sorrowed and wept. But we also know that he walked with the Lord through it all. And that's what we have to do. we have to see things from all standpoints as in the Lord, servants of Christ. Again, thinking of Paul himself, one of the first things he said after asking, "Who art thou, Lord? What wilt thou have me to do?" And I don't think Paul ever stopped doing that. I think too often we omit that. We don't ask the Lord. We don't do what we read in the book of Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Lean not to thine own understanding. The promise is he'll direct thy paths. What did we sing? Beginning of the service. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. And we should want it every day, every hour, till the end of this life, because we need it. Bread of heaven. That's Christ, the bread that God has given, the water of life, the one whose body was broken. We need to eat of it by faith, whose blood was shed, and we need to drink of it by faith. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. We would stay guilty. These people had all of that blessing. We can read of it earlier in the epistle. Read it again and again and again. It's God's holy word. It's God's blessed word. And these men here were servants of Christ, preaching and teaching the word. As God said by the pen of Paul, he gave some apostles for the perfecting of the saints, teachers, prophets, evangelists along with it, all till we come in the unity, the knowledge of the Son of God. How much do we really know about the Master? How much do we really know what Epaphras knew, being a servant of Christ? And then he could do as Paul said, saluteth you, fervent for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Paul had earlier told the people to continue in prayer. Now he said there's someone praying for you. It goes both ways. Those who are called of God to be his servants must pray for each other, for the church, for the world. Those in the church must pray as Paul asked those at Colossae to pray for him, that he might know what he ought to speak, that he might have utterance in the right time, the right place, the right way. As we saw last week, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Oh, how it's needed. Pray for it, particularly that Christ might be known.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.